It can be quite confronting sometimes to take a peek at your finances. Is that really how much I spend on takeaway? I may need a whole spreadsheet just for baked goods. But be comforted, we can change how we spend. I'd love to hear what's helped you get on top of your personal finances, whether it was getting out of debt or saving for a house deposit or stashing money away for a rainy day or several. Financial advisor Victoria Devine has been helping people change their relationship with money through her podcast, She's on the Money, which is now a book. She's on the Money, Take Charge of Your Financial Future. Victoria, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello.
Hi. Now, this book has a pink cover and the chapters are called things like Save, Sister, Save, so clearly pitched at women. Why did you feel it was important to help women in particular?
I feel like we've always had a bit of a disadvantage when it comes to all things money. And for me, that's just the community that I resonated with when I created the podcast. And I guess it's grown from there, just knowing that the gender pay gap still exists and that so many women just feel out of their depth having money conversations. I guess it's something that I'm really passionate about. And as much as I'm passionate about money conversations in general with everybody, I just particularly love picking up women and helping them be empowered when it comes to all things finance.
And you write about this idea of learned helplessness about how it relates to women's capacity to taking ownership of their savings. Can you explain that?
So learned helplessness is where you just have an ongoing experience of failure. So you might start saving and say, you know what, I just can't save. I'm just not very good at this. And therefore you decide that that is something that you are not good at and you actually need someone else's help with. When in reality, it's just your experience and maybe you didn't have the tools and resources that you need. And I feel like I've spoken about this in the book because it's so important to not only learn about finance, but actually learn about ourselves before we learn about finance. Because how do we know where we want to get to if we don't even know where we're starting from?
Exactly. And as you point out in the book, it can be so complicated reading through the information that companies give you. You need something that's straight talking and upfront. How did you grow up talking about money in your family, Victoria?
I was really lucky. My dad's an accountant, so I've always had conversations around money. In saying that, I never felt like it was something that I was interested in. And it's not through any fault of my parents. It's not because they didn't have good money conversations. I feel like they were really open and honest, but I just didn't have any one-on-one experience with it. I couldn't conceptualize it. And when you're quite young, you might be learning about money stories. So your money story actually starts when you're 7 years old. But as you start to learn, sometimes you just have to learn by failure. Sometimes you just have to find out on your own. How many times have you, you know, had someone suggest something for you to 6 months later go, oh, you know what would be a good idea? And for them to go, oh, come on, I've told you a million times you should have done that.
So that's interesting that you say your money story starts at 7 years old. Is that the age where we become able to conceptualize money?
Yeah, so your money story, this is just based on research, not research I've done, research by a university, and off the top of my head it evades me, I do apologize, but your money story starts at 7 and that's the age at which you start to pick up your values around money and your beliefs around money. So that could be that money is scarce because your parents are really stressed about it and, you know, it makes you feel a little bit sick and, you know, you see this starting to come out in primary school aged children when they might, you know, be a little bit shy asking for some pocket money, or they might not be comfortable asking a parent for money for a school camp they wanted to go on because they know that the stress of asking is just too much. So I think it's really important to understand that because our money stories are inherent. They are something that we personally don't have any control over what they were, but we have absolute control over what they can become.
It's fascinating too, reading through your book, Victoria, and the moment where you realise that not everyone had the same childhood as you, and you sit down and have these conversations with clients where you realise that they're carrying perhaps discomfort or even shame around money, but also difficulties managing it. Tell us about some of those conversations that you've had with people about how to manage their finances.
It's from everything, right? So nobody has the same money story. And I think that's what makes this space so special. So some clients I sit down with and they're up to their eyeballs in debt. But the reason they are is because they actually grew up really wealthy. So they didn't ever have an aversion to a credit card because in their experience, their parents just use credit cards. And if you want something, you just tap for it. But when they then decided to go out on their own as adults, they hadn't really conceptualized that there was an income difference. And, you know, the money story behind why maybe mum and dad were able to put everything on a credit card and safely pay it off, all the way through to people who have come into money and feel a lot of guilt and shame around it. So it's really interesting talking about money with people, because the more you do it, the more you realize it actually has nothing to do with the money at all, but more around our inherent beliefs and behaviors and understanding of money and how that actually works.
And some people, you're right, think that having more money is the answer. If I just get that pay rise or a windfall somehow, everything will be fixed. Is that going to help people?
No, sadly not. I'm sorry. There is a cap at which we start earning more money and it doesn't make us more excited or happy. It actually makes us more stressed. So for me, it's actually,
does it have a figure?
I think it sits at about $86,000 a year. And if you start earning more than that, you end up not happier, but more stressed. And it makes sense, because if you don't have good money habits ingrained in what you do, you won't actually be able to get a hold of more money. More money doesn't actually mean more freedom. It often means more stress and more lifestyle creep.
Lifestyle creep. We'll get to that in a moment. But I noticed that when it comes to saving, you say a slow and steady approach is better rather than going, okay, we're just going to bite the bullet and make big savings straight away. Is that not, though, the best way to make progress, to just suffer for a little while?
I don't believe so. And I guess I would akin this to a diet. Like, how many of us have gone on fad diets and, you know, 6 months later, we're not in the position that we'd hoped we would end up in. So I think it's actually about creating sustainable change that we can actually implement while not making our lifestyles suffer. So if you adore going out for breakfast with your family on a Saturday morning, I don't want you to not do that. I just want to create a more sustainable way for that to happen. Because if I take everything out of life that you enjoy and that makes you happy, you're not actually going to end up wanting to commit to it long term.
Yeah, I do remember the conversations around saving for a house deposit with my husband, and he tried to say that perhaps the daily hot chocolate would have to go.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, not worth living. Well, you, Victoria Devine, your book, She's on the Money, your podcast, She's on the Money, have quite a following. And in it, you talk about good debt, bad debt, and okay debt. And I'm wondering how you tell the difference between those things, because surely it depends on people's money stories. If they can't handle debt, then all debt is bad debt.
So that could be true. And I think that debt can be handled in a lot of different ways. But when it comes to good, bad, and okay debt, I categorize them in these ways because it just makes it a little bit simpler for you to understand, you know, why would we go into good debt? So good debt, an example of that would be a mortgage. So you are saving up for a home, you're acquiring an asset that is going to, over the long term, hopefully, if we've bought the right property, create wealth for us. Bad debt, on the other hand, is things like credit cards, where we, you know, might have a credit card and pop a holiday on there. And once we get back from that holiday, we actually don't have anything to show for it. We might be clothes or shoes or things that ultimately do not help create wealth or long-term financial stability. And then we have things like okay debt. And I had to introduce this, you know, middle ground of it's like, it's not good debt, it's not bad debt, it's okay debt, because we might not be prioritizing paying it down right now. We don't really want to be in it, but we're happy to be in it for the short term. And that's things like our help debt for education. So we like that and we think it's an okay debt to have because the way we hold it. So the way we hold it is it doesn't accrue any interest because it's, you know, through our help debt through the government. And ultimately, it does help you increase your income because you're becoming more educated. So long term, you're right, we don't want to hold debt, but I want to categorize them differently because I think that once we start saying all debt is bad, we end up in a situation where we have an aversion to actually helping ourselves and we actually just need to be educated on how to use it constructively.
That's certainly the hope, isn't it, that it helps you get ahead from getting more educated. We're speaking with Victoria Devine, and she's a financial advisor, but I'd love to hear what's helped you get on top of your personal finances, because it might be different for each household. Was it getting out of debt or saving for something, or just making some tweaks and changes after you'd had a good hard look at how you were spending? Victoria, let's talk about lifestyle creep. You mentioned this before, and you argue that this is something that a lot of people experience as you grow your income or get more settled in your career. What is it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things you go, what is that? That sounds so strange. I obviously haven't experienced that, but I guarantee you most of us have. So a best example I've got of this is very feminine, and I do apologize, and that is actually around makeup. So when I was younger and I was in high school, I used to buy makeup from the supermarket when it was on sale because I didn't have a very high cash flow. And then when I got to university and I had my part-time job, I upgraded and was buying makeup from, you know, the chemist and makeup from Priceline. And I was kind of in that middle ground where it wasn't super cheap, it wasn't super expensive. And then when I became an adult and had my full-time job, I was like, no, I'll treat myself. I'll go and buy makeup from Adore Beauty or Mecca. And I've kind of slowly over time increased how much I'm spending in a certain category, because as my income has increased, so have my spending habits. So it's not to say, oh, we go one day from spending $100 to spending thousands on something. It's that small creep up of lifestyle where you go, no, I am earning a bit more. I deserve it. And you tell yourself these things. And if it aligns to your values and your goals, I absolutely agree with it. But I believe that we need to be aware of these things so that if it's not aligned to our goals and values, oh my gosh, like, you're right, I don't actually care about makeup that much. I really liked that mascara from the supermarket. I'm going to revert back to buying those things. It's a way of keeping ourselves in check.
Yep, and blokes do it too, I'm sure. I noticed the proliferation of streaming services at our house, but I'm sure it plays out differently for different people. One interesting note, Victoria, in your book, you point out that the average cost of weddings in Australia is somewhere between $25,000 and $60,000, depending whose figures you trust. What advice do you find you give people who are set on having this wedding of their dreams?
I don't ever want to argue with someone around what their goals are. I just want someone to be on the same page when it comes to money with their partner. I want them to feel empowered. I want them to feel like they're making the right decisions. And I want them to have every tool and resource available to them to make a decision that's right for them. So if you said to me, Victoria, I've been waiting my whole life to get married and I've been saving up and this is exactly what I want to do, like, who am I to take that joy from you if that is what your goals are? In saying that, if you said, yeah, I want to get married, I just can't believe how expensive it is, it's not something that I value, then I'd say, well, why are you doing it in such an expensive way? Is there a way that we could potentially drag that cost down or change it and have a conversation about it? I think it's more about pushing back on what we deem society expects of us, and start talking to ourselves about, well, is this a value to me? Is a big wedding something that I really want? And if it is, let's work towards that. But let's make sure it's always not compromising future us and our future wealth, and it's not putting us into significant debt.
Yep, you're looking at the meaning of money and the emotional content of spending decisions. Scary, but very useful. Victoria, thank you so much for chatting with us on Life Matters today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Mutual. Victoria Devine, financial advisor, host of the She's on the Money podcast and website and book. It's She's on the Money, Take Charge of Your Financial Future. And if you are in financial trouble, you can call the National Debt Helpline. It's free. It's confidential. It's a 1-800 number, 1-800 007 007.